Okay, quick question. When something stressful happens at once, does your brain react first or does your body beat it to the punch? Tight shoulders, shallow breath, jaw clenched like you're chewing imaginary gum? Yeah. Today, we're talking about why your body freaks first and what leaders do next. Hey, friends, welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin Deal, and this is the podcast where we talk about leadership like real humans who have nervous systems and deadlines. Now, this month on the show, we are focusing on leadership, not just leadership strategies or frameworks, but leadership as a lived experience. But leadership doesn't just happen in your head. It also happens in your body. Today's episode is called Why Your Body Freaks First and What Leaders Do Next. And this episode is super special to me. I talk to a lot of authors on this show. But when I was approached to talk to this amazing author, Ina Segal, I was like, hell yes, let's go. I have read Ina's book, The Secret Language of Your Body Backwards and Forwards. I keep it in my meditation closet. I study it. I have gone back to it when my body was doing things my brain cannot explain. This conversation today is about what happens in your body before you even realize you're stressed, overwhelmed, or scared, and how that impacts how you lead. Now, before we jump in, I want a quick pause because if this conversation is resonating, I want to tell you about Improve It's Leadership Workshop. Now, this highly interactive, high-energy workshop can be delivered virtually for up to 50 people over 90 minutes or in person for up to 100 people over 2 hours. Our seasoned improv facilitators during this session will lead your participants through experiential activities and customized debriefs centered around one powerful idea. Communication plus inspiration equals motivation. Now, participants learn how to communicate effectively with their teams, how to inspire and empower their peers through their words and actions, and how to motivate the people around them to set higher goals and achieve more. If you want more information, join us on our website at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. Okay, back to the playdate. So my peeps, here's the problem. Most leadership development teaches us what to think, but not how to feel. We tell leaders to stay calm, to be confident, and to make good decisions under pressure without ever teaching them how their nervous system actually works. When stress hits, the body reacts first. Fight, flight, or freeze. And then leaders are left wondering why they snapped, why they shut down, why they procrastinated, or why they felt completely disconnected. If leaders don't understand their own body responses, they unintentionally pass that stress down to the team. And that's why today's conversation just matters so much. So here's the epiphany, the aha moment. Your body is not the problem, it's the messenger. Neuroscience tells us that the brain processes threat and safety through the body before conscious thought kicks in. So when your body reacts, that's not weakness. That is information. It's data. So leaders who learn to listen instead of override that information, they gain clarity, creativity, and regulation faster. This isn't about being woo. It's about being aware. And today we're talking to somebody who has literally dedicated her life to helping people decode what their bodies are actually saying. This guest is Ina Segal. She is a pioneer in the field of energy medicine and human consciousness and the best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body, which has been translated into 27 languages and sold over 1 million copies worldwide. 1 million copies. Now, her journey began after years of illness and tragic stillbirth of her child, which led her to discover a profound ability to heal herself. From that turning point, she dedicated her life to helping others transform pain into freedom. So for over 25 years, Ina has worked with people around the world, from doctors and psychologists to trauma survivors and creatives, teaching them how to uncover the true roots of suffering through the wisdom of the body and soul. Let's get to today's Playgate with Inna Segal. I'm so happy she's here. Okay, peeps, this is probably, I'm not going to blow it up, Inna. I'm not going to blow it up. It's probably one of the coolest experiences that I have got to have yet on this show, because we are talking to an author whose book I have had, it's upside down, a book who I've had in my meditation closet, a book who I reference almost weekly, sometimes daily, depending on the season. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Inna, welcome to Workday Playdate.
Thank you so much for having me, Erin.
Oh, okay. And so I love to do this before we get into our conversation. What is a one-word intention that you want to either give or receive during our time together today?
For me, it's connection.
Connection. And we're given that connection. You are waking up early. It's 7:30 a.m. your time. Where in Australia are you?
I'm in Brisbane. The warm part of Australia, the nice part.
Australia is on my bucket list. So now I have somebody to visit.
Yes, please.
I would love it. And we always like to start the play date by just imagining that we are somewhere really fun having this play date. So it could be Brisbane, or where would you like to have this play date today?
All right. Well, if I had to choose, it would probably always be Paris.
Yes. Why Paris for you? I'm curious. Why Paris?
I think for me, Paris was probably the place where I really awakened to love. I mean, you know, it sounds a little cliched, but
no.
For me, I taught in Paris for 7 years, and it was kind of like I could see it as just this city of awakening your heart. You either love it and really connect with it, or you hate it. And yeah. I had both experiences, but eventually I just felt like it just kind of broke my heart open, and it changed my perspective on love, on life, on connection with other people. I still have a best friend who lives there who we've been friends now for 20 years, and it's just beautiful.
I love Paris. I agree with you. I have the connection too. I fell in love with it. It was such a magical space and place. Let me ask you this. I am so curious, just to set the tone for the conversation. You have all these accolades. You wrote an incredible book. You're an incredible human. What drew you to this work? Because I want to just take a step back. I know you have other books, but this is my heart, my connection to you. It's called The Secret Language of Your Body. And can I just share how I use it on an everyday basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whenever I have a physical ailment, and I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, some would say, but whenever I have a physical ailment, I know that the body, disease is dis-ease in the body. I will come to Inna's book. I will look up. I will literally look up, like, for example, if I have a cough, okay? I don't have a cough. I'm not manifesting a cough. I'm putting that out there, universe. But if, let's say, I have a cough, I would come to the back portion of her book, see what page. I always go to your index and find, okay, cough. And then I would go to where it talks about what cough is. It's resistant to making a necessary change in your life, feeling overwhelmed by worries, anxiety, and stresses, easily irritated by people, especially those close to you. You're self-critical, easily influenced by others. There's also things in the book that give specific possible contributing factors, and then the remedy. And you use light and colors to help with that, as well as emotions. You can look at your emotions as well. So I find that whatever physical symptom I'm having, I go to Inna's book, I look as to what are the reasons why I'm having this? What are the emotions causing it? And then she gives me steps on how to clear those emotions so I can clear the physical. That's my interpretation. I have this book like at the ready always. What brought you to writing this? Why did you write this for me? Because you read for me.
Well, I had an experience of self-healing because I was, you know, for years and years, I was running from one health practitioner to another. And, you know, I do want to say, I believe that everyone, you know, who knows what they're doing can help you on your journey. There are a lot of people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And whether it's medicine or alternative practitioners, we can work together. I have so many doctors that come to me and nurses that I work with. But what wasn't really shifting for me personally was the fact that I was coming with this attitude, and it's an attitude that we're taught from early on. And the attitude is, I know nothing about my body. I'm not connected with it. The doctor or the or whoever, the professional knows everything. And I just, you know, I'll take the medicine or I'll take whatever that they give me, or I'll just lie on the table and have somebody make an adjustment, you know, such as a chiropractor or physio or whoever. And so that just wasn't really working for me because I was at times going to five times a week. And the issue was that nothing was holding inside of my body because I wasn't aware that I needed to make that choice to understand myself so that I could hold it. And so my, you know, kind of experience shifted when I saw this chiropractor. I was in a lot of pain, especially back pain. I think you mentioned yours as well. And, you know, back pain, especially when you can hardly walk and you have sciatica, you know, has something to do with stuckness in your life. And there was a lot of trauma that happened to me, including a loss of a child that had brought this on. And when I went to see him, I was playing this big victim card. And he basically said, well, you know, your body's stuck. There's nothing I can do for you. Go home. And this is where my shift in consciousness occurred because I realized being an author studying writing. I wasn't an author then, but I had done a lot of journalism already from a very young age. And so I was thinking of it from that perspective of connecting all the pieces together and language, and that my body had a kind of language that was speaking to me, and everybody has that essentially. And I didn't know how to listen. Nobody taught me. And so I went home and I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to learn how to listen. And it was very simple. It was basically me starting with placing my hands on my back and breathing with the pain, which was very scary in a way. But at the same time, I realized that I was never going to get insight if I was holding my breath, right? Because I was just going to stay in my head.
Yeah.
And as I was doing that kind of thing, it occurred to me that, you know, I didn't know really if there was something divine that could help with healing. And I didn't know where I stood on that, in that belief system, but I thought, why not ask? You know, it doesn't cost anything. So I just said, if there is something higher than me, something divine in this universe, help me now. And this is when the light and what you're talking about, the color came to me. And as I had my eyes closed, I just felt this golden warmth move through my body. I remember thinking, I'm very skeptical by nature, and my brain is much more scientific than actually kind of spiritual in that sense. And so I remember thinking, oh, something's happening. And I felt this slight unwinding that occurred. And then for whatever reason, it occurred to me to ask if I could kind of tune in, see into my body. Again, I had zero expectations when that thought occurred, mainly because, again, I didn't even know where I stood on believing this type of thing. And then as I asked, it was kind of like this x-ray vision happened and I could see my back, I could see my spine. And I asked a question, and a question wasn't coming from the victim, but it was coming from the place of, I want to know what's really going on inside of me. And again, with no expectations, I started to get memories that were connected to wisdom and kind of very visual, right? So as a vision, but really about what had happened in my life. And there's different, I talk about that in the secret language of your body as well. And those different kind of memories were all about why my body wasn't healing, why it was sick. And I allowed myself to feel, you know, because we live in a society where feeling is not encouraged unless it's positive feelings, right? And needed to actually feel through things that were not positive.
And you talk about that in the book with the physical pain, what emotions you should deal with, and then you give guidance on how to do that. I mean, this book is like, it's just like a dictionary, man, for me. I just keep it. It's like, okay, what's the definition of this pain? Go to it. Hey, peeps, I hope you're enjoying the conversation here today. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to the show. Ina, I have sat with this book so many times in so many different variations. I'll give you an example. Last week, so we are recording this early. It's going to release a little bit later, but I'm going to just share with the peeps when we are recording this, because over here in the U.S., we got a lot going on. Okay, there is some world news happening, and it is heavy, and we are, as leaders, experiencing just grief and tragedy and just heartbreak in real time and time again as human beings, not just leaders, but as human beings. And so being a leader and leading our teams, right? Like we have to hold space for that, because the world is seeping into our work right now. It's really hard to lead in what we're seeing in the news. There's just so much crap over here, and it's so hard. It's really hard. And so my back, my shoulders were hurting back where I was having physical pain. I did go through like a whole self-healing journey years ago with a lot of physical back pain, but the feeling was coming back in my lats, my like under my armpits, lats, and and kind of lower shoulders. And I was so tense. And I just kept going and pushing and pushing. And then finally I was like, okay, let me sit with this. I got out your book. I looked at the emotions that are dealing with back pain and with shoulders. And now that I have some guidance from your book, I'm able to kind of go inward and understand, okay, I'm carrying the weight of the world. I'm carrying the weight of my team. I'm carrying grief. I'm carrying things that I can't control. And I need to release, because I can't fix them. I'm one human being, right? I can control my attitude, my efforts, but I have to physically release this weight that I'm holding, because I can't do anything. I can't be light if I'm weighed down and heavy. The opposite of heavy is light, right? So I did one of your rituals to release. And I'm telling you what, I woke up the next morning a new person with little to no pain. It works.
Thank you. Isn't it amazing that when we recognize, and that was actually the biggest thing that I realized in my own journey, and then the fact that I could see into people's bodies and I could help them to understand the wisdom of the body, that as we have recognition, it's almost like internally we have a teacher, which is what you're saying, right? That says, hey, if you recognize me, then you can, you and have some tools, then you can do something about this. And you show up as a new person, which means that rather than carrying this grief and this trauma, which we all experience, right? You know, and like the world events are constantly kind of putting that on us, but also our own experiences. Many of us have children. Once you have children, it's a constant, even as they get a lot older. And you need to have a way not to carry things, but to actually be able to show up as the best version of yourself and to lead, because everybody leads, right? Even if you don't have a goodness, as if you're a parent in particular, you're constantly leading by example. And, you know, I have two children who have grown and they constantly come back to me and say, "Hey, mom, when I was younger, you know, I didn't appreciate you. I didn't see what you were doing. But because you led by example, because you did all these things, I'm inspired to keep going." Or because you're not, you know, like they might call me and say all sorts of things, and I'm just like, "No, here's my boundaries, but I'm still going to be loving. I'm still going to be caring, even though you're having a meltdown." And they would go, you know, I have a boy and a girl, at different times, "Oh my God, wow, how do you hold this space?" And because you do, I'm learning how to. And so we're constantly leading, but to lead, you've got to be able to transform what, you know, what is difficult and painful and heavy.
Oh my gosh. And I want to go like 800 places with this. I'm trying to rein it in because I'm selfishly have so many questions. I'm like, what do the peeps need? I'm just going to go with my heart. That's what I'm going to go with, because we do all have this wisdom, right? So let me speak to the peep listening. Remember, my peeps are called the peeps. My peeps are the peeps. Our community is called the peeps. So to the peep listening, who's a parent, who is, you know, in this messy middle version of life, parenting up, parenting down, also leading up, leading down, managing up, managing down, who's sandwiched in between all of it, who's giving it every turn, who doesn't take the time to sit and look inside in that inner wisdom, but their body is failing them. Maybe they've gone and gotten some MRIs. Maybe they've gotten all these different test results and nothing is showing up. What would you tell that person today? What would you say to them to get them to be still and really listen? Because the body does keep score, we know that, but the body freaks first. What would you tell them?
I think that step one is realizing that you can change things inside your body, as we're both saying. I mean, I suffered with back pain for years and years. And then once I tuned into my body and learned about it, I was able to turn it around. I had psoriasis and everybody said to me, "Yeah, but this is genetic. Everybody in your family has it." And I turned it around. You know, I had anxiety. I had really bad digestive issues and I've turned it all around. So step one is realizing that you can, and then slowing down. And it's not necessarily just slowing down in your life and having a huge amount of time. I've never had that. But it's internal slowing down where you give yourself, let's say, 10 minutes of your time, and you start with the breath and you start with breathing inside your body. And I always usually say, and you'll find it in my book or any workshop that I'm teaching, place your hands on the part of your body where you have pain or discomfort, because what you need to do is you need to connect your brain and your nervous system to the discomfort, the pain, the tension, the emotions, the thoughts, the belief patterns that you are carrying. And as you breathe into that part of your body and you start asking questions, you know, what is this discomfort about? Let's say if I place my hands on my stomach, what am I not digesting potentially? Because the wisdom of the body comes from what the body does. It's not kind of rocket science. It's so much based on, you know, your shoulders are about carrying things, as you were saying. Your heart is about intimacy and relationships. So, you know, what am I carrying in terms of intimacy and relationships that is not working for me that I need to address? That's what the body's saying. What am I not digesting? What did someone say today that didn't sit well with me and I've just pushed it away? And, you know, again, the body's telling you how your thinking, feeling, and actions may need to be transformed. And it essentially is your guide to what to do if you start connecting within.
Woo! Okay. I love this. Let me just tell you. Okay, so we're called Playdate, right? So sometimes we play, but on the playground, you got to leave time for the sandbox. And we're in the sandbox today. Like, we're having a tea party because this is the tea. Okay, I just had so many metaphors in one little moment. You know, this is the tea. This is the stuff. I was that person who did not slow down. Slowing down to listen to my body didn't seem productive. Did not. I was like, nope, I got stuff to do. I got to achieve. I got a kid to raise. I got people to serve. I got X, Y, and Z. Until literally my body was screaming at me, this is how I learned to do this as well. And through your guidance, honestly, and through just a lot of healing modalities that I allowed myself to go to and to experience. To the people listening today, you said, you know, just giving yourself 10 minutes. And to the doubter who's like, is this, you know, going to work for me? I just want to say this before I give it to you. I truly believe that learning is knowledge, but wisdom is a knowing. And we all have this internal knowing inside of us. We really do. What would you say to that naysayer? Because, you know, and I love y'all peeps. Y'all know there's some of you out there. Okay. But what would you say to the naysayer who's like, this isn't going to work for me? If I make the time, how am I going to hear? What am I going to hear? What would you say to them?
Well, I think, you know, especially if you're a leader, to give your health and to put your health into, and when I say health, I mean mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, to put your whole health into the hands of somebody else is actually scary, you know, yeah. Because they don't know you, right? They don't know you. And what healing is actually about is knowing yourself and knowing how the way you see life can either make you feel amazing and energized and full of vitality, or it can make you feel exhausted and depressed. And it is so on you in that sense because we've all had those days where, you know, everything goes wrong and we just focus on the negative. And then we've had days where we're like, you know what? No, I'm going to do what I've set out to do. And no matter what happens, I'm going to lead and I'm going to turn things around. And so if you can do that in life, what would make you think that you can't do that in your body? Because to me, Erin, your body is the map of your life. So
yeah,
I can actually tune into somebody, right? And based on becoming aware of what's going on with them, tell you your whole life story because it's stored there. That's what it is. And essentially when we're healing or changing, we are looking at what is my life story and what is the perspective that I took on where I got stuck. And that perspective becomes pain.
Yeah. Okay. My mind is blown. Okay. Let's if you're open to it, how do you tune into someone when you work with somebody one-on-one? What do you do? Like, what does that look like?
Well, for me, I just, I usually ask the person not to tell me too much. And then I start to scan the person from the perspective of I ask the intelligence of the body to show me where is the starting point. Because to me, the body is a map, right? So I want to understand where something started, even if the person is not feeling pain in that area, and how it got to be where it is. Because in my experience, especially if it's chronic, if it's been there for a while, it is very rarely the area that you're working on. When it's just, you know, like when you just have those aches and pains, it is, you know, like let's say for a few days or a week, that's what you need to focus on. But if it's been there for a while, you know, you need to create an understanding of what was going on when you, when this started for you in your life. It's always that reflection. And so I literally see that, I'll ask the body that question. I'll see the area underlined or kind of circled, and I'll start talking to the person. I'll say, okay, you know, do you have pain in, you know, the middle of your back, let's say? And, you know, because I already know what each part of the body is about, I might say, so the feeling that's coming up, which I'll probably be aware of, is fear. And it's fear around, you know, relationships and communication. Is there a person in your life that you're having this challenge with? Now, if I see something that shows up specifically on the left or the right side of the body, I actually know that if it's showing up on the left, there is usually a feminine connection. And if it's on the right, it's a masculine one. And sometimes, again, if I can just clarify, it can be people that you're having challenges with or have had challenges with in the past, or it can be connected to the feminine is more about my internal experience. How do I feel inside myself on a daily basis? You know, do I work on myself from that perspective of, you know, that I know myself, I feel colors, I feel like a richness inside of my inner being, or I feel numb and heavy and dark. And actually, I'd love to do a little play with colors. And, you know, or is it more masculine from the perspective of, you know, my business or my working life, mm-hmm. or, you know, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, this is, you know, if I'm overstepping, I want you to say nope. And I'm okay with that. But do you do it virtually, or do you have to be in person with the person?
I have done it in every way, but I don't do it a lot now because I more teach and do it in groups, but you know, but yeah, anywhere.
Okay. Could you do it to me? Or is that like, you're like, no, you have to pay me my fee and I deserve it and you deserve it. But if not, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just curious how it works. And I think, or we could do something with colors to show the peeps just how you use that to heal.
Well, you know, I'm going to say that as soon as you said that, your neck showed up as, you know, as more of the challenge now and the, some of the nerve endings that I'm seeing, where it's like you actually store a lot of things in your throat and neck. Mm. And probably because you communicate so much, you absorb through your throat. And then when you get busy, it gets pushed down into your neck.
Oh my God. Yes. And I have a friend who does like active release therapy. And she was like, why don't you have headaches? She goes, your neck is insanely tight. She's like, I've never met somebody with this tight of a neck. And I was like, wow, well, you have really strong hands. But yeah. And I've been having some jaw pain recently. So that tracks. And so how do I fix that? What would you tell?
I think that you need to become more conscious around, so you hold it in your jaw, but it actually comes in through your throat. So because you're a leader and you're communicating with people, you essentially, this is an area of strength and weakness for you at the same time. So what happens is as you're speaking to somebody or you're hearing them and you're listening to them, you have this tendency to absorb their energy. and then, like I said, store it and push it down instead of, because you want to respond instead of reacting. But sometimes your body's screaming and you want to scream, but you can't. So you're pushing it as a blob kind of around the thyroid throat area. And what you need to, which affects the jaw and the neck and everything. So what you need to do is to become conscious of that every time, as you're speaking to somebody and in yourself. You need to, within ideally a 24-hour period, you need to go home and go, what did I absorb today that made me want to scream, shout, of go, I can't, like, this is ridiculous. And then, right? And then you can do many things. You can journal about it. You can give yourself, one of the things that I love is movement. And so, I'll put on a song that is connected to it, place my hands on, that part of the body, acknowledge what it's about, and then like literally start to, and it, I'll ask, what is the color of this? What is the shape of this? What is the emotion connected to this? And what was this about? And can I start to energetically with my actual hands physically take this out of my body? As you know, I have visualizations with a purple fire, which is that letting go. I'm letting it go and then just moving and shaking it out. And in my own self, coming back and going, well, what is my clarity about? How do I share this with somebody still in a kind way but clear way? How do I get more clarity for myself? But also, how do I take, release the frustration?
Wow. Everyone get her book immediately or hire her. You are so, truly, words cannot even describe how accurate that is. And I bet it's true for so many of our peeps listening. Because, as a leader, as a communicator, you're handling a lot. I mean, we're all intaking so much information these days. And there are times I want to scream. I'm going to be honest. I want to scream like yesterday, multiple times. And I think that shoving it down and not releasing it is just, it's the energy stored in our body, which causes the physical pain. So the release, and I love that you said movement, like a dance, like how beautiful is that? Just even putting on songs and letting yourself, do you find that you try to do a song that relates to whatever the body part is, or do you just pick a song? How do you choose your song choice for that?
Well, and you can sing with it as well to get it out.
Yeah.
But I, for me, I connect to the part of my body and I just go, what is this about? What is the feeling that I'm trying to express, but I can't? And can I find a song that is actually expressing this in words? And I'm going to allow myself to, whether it's sit with a song, dance with a song, sing with a song, whatever it is, to allow myself both to connect, because music connects you so deeply to your body. And how do I, now that I've allowed myself to feel, and sometimes it is to scream or cry or whatever it is, or just to acknowledge. And then, my question afterwards, as I feel lighter, okay, what's a new perspective? What is the wisdom? That's always my question. What's the wisdom that I now need to receive so that I can operate in the best way possible in my life?
I love that. Let me just say, it took me 38 years to learn how to actually allow myself to do that. It's changed my whole life. It's because we all have that wisdom within us. I think people look at you, and I'm just going to say as an example, would you call yourself a healer? You would call yourself a healer. Yeah.
Yeah, we can say that.
We can say that. But as people always think that you have to go to somebody else. I honestly was so curious what you would say about me. So thank you so much for doing that. But I think people look so much to other people for the answers. Like, for example, with physical pain, with back pain, I went to a chiropractor, I went to a GP, I went to acupuncturist, I went to a Reiki practitioner. Like, all these people can help, right? But we all have the answers within us. And so just even you saying that, giving somebody the permission here today to look within themselves, to find that wisdom, oh, it's so freaking beautiful. Because it does help us show up as the highest versions of themselves. My vehicle is play. So when you said movement, I was like, let's go. I know what song I'm getting on tonight and where I'm going, right? Like, your vehicle is sitting with it quietly and allowing it to move through you and releasing and then receiving the guidance back, right? We all have this within us. Inna is the catalyst to your change, is what I want to tell the peeps here today, because you've changed my life. I mean, truly, I get the privilege of having this show to get to talk to you, which is so freaking cool. Like, you don't even know that across the world, this girl in Charleston, South Carolina has this book, you know, dog-eared, stickered, underlined, highlighted, and has come back to it again and again. And you help me find that wisdom within myself. And now I have access to it. And having access to it, sorry for my TED talk, but let me just keep going. Having access to it helps me show up here on the show. It helps me show up for our team, for my family, for my community as the best version. And I wouldn't have that without the permission slip of people like you. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And if I can just add slightly to it, I mean, especially for people who have children and families, and sometimes you don't know how to connect with your child, and that can be so painful and frustrating. And, you know, actually trying to find a creative way to explore with your child is so powerful. Now, for me, for instance, when my daughter was 11, she said to me, "Mom, I'm not like you. I don't share things. I'm private. I don't talk about my feelings. You know, don't ask me about my feelings." And I said to her, "Okay, like, I will honor that." And I walked away and I thought, what does she like doing? What is her creative outlet? What is her play, so to speak? And for her, it was dancing, and it was painting and, you know, expressing herself in that way and acting. And I said to her, "All right, cool. The way we're going to do this is you will pick a song that expresses how you feel, one song. I'll be here and I'll witness you dancing. Several songs, don't have to show me that, but one song. And through that, I will understand what you're going through." And we did that for years, you know, where I would show up and I would witness, and then I would have to dance too, because she would then witness me. And that was, she said to me, she's 22 now, and she said to me not that long ago, she goes, "Mom, we grew up together," because I was really young when I had her. And it's that thing of, you know, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, how do you also bring that connection, right? That communication, that play to people who don't have the same communication style as you do, but if you connected to theirs, it would be very different. Like my son, you had to tell him stories of people who have overcome the most difficult things and show him, you know, movies and videos, and then talk about that while you went for a walk with him. That's the way he understood things. So it wasn't dance or anything like that, but you know, actually having that, I think tuning into somebody is listening to them the same way that we listen to ourselves and going, how do I connect? And if I can just say one last thing around this, around color.
Yes.
For people who are very creative, and I've studied acting for many, many years, you know, when we're kind of exploring ourselves, for instance, we can start to ask questions. Okay, today when I wake up, what is the color that I'm expressing? Is it passionate red? Is it calm blue? Is it, you know, a live green? Is it creative orange? Like, what is the color? And even if you see a little bit of my picture up there, it's like the colors represent seasons as well. And as, you know, as we start to ask that question, we can actually start to explore, well, how good am I at, let's say, expressing being more calm and peaceful and responsive instead of reactive? And what is the color of that? And maybe I'll wear that color to remind me of that. And I'll actually feel that and visualize it through my nervous system, because I have a meeting with someone and I cannot react. And maybe I'll even bring the color, let's say blue, to my throat, because I'm going to communicate in a better way, in a non-reactive way, and, you know, really listen. Or maybe today I wake up and I don't have much energy, so I'm going to wear something red, or I'm going to visualize red, you know. And there's so many ways of doing this as well. Like, you can rub your hands together and actually visualize the color and feel it and the differences in the colors. But internally, what actually happens most of the time, Erin, is that we get stuck in the colors we're comfortable with. And then we get stuck in our relationships. We get stuck in life, in our health, in, you know, in our work, and people go, oh, I know you because I think you're going to, you know, you're going to do this because you always have. But when you start to change these colors and ask questions, you start to have choice and options of showing up in a way that is exciting to you. And I remember I was on a flight actually to Perth, and I remember thinking in Australia, and I was thinking, P, I wish that I was on a flight to Paris. And I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, why am I so happy in Paris? You know, and there's so many reasons for it. But I was like, what is the color that represents how I actually feel when I'm in Paris that I don't feel necessarily in some of the other places that I travel to and been to? And it was, I just felt like it's like fuchsia pink.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, you know what? What if I just kept bringing that color into, let's say, my heart, even when I was in places that don't excite me as much? What if I actually had that same feeling? Because that color is the feeling, you know, is connected to the feeling. Because when people see me in Paris, I just walk around with this massive smile on my face, no matter what, you know.
Well, and we're there right now, so you're so smiley. No one can see you. She's so smiley. Yep. Oh, okay. This is so magical. I mean, truly, I feel honored to get to chat with you. I'm just sitting here, and like as you're talking, I'm like, this is so freaking cool that I didn't, you know, you created this book of wisdom from your heart. And you've left it here as an imprint for the world to find. And if you want to find out more about how to use colors and in her work, please get this book. I can't recommend it enough. I also am curious, you have a couple other books. What are you working on next? What's next for you?
I'm working on a book around understanding different stages of healing. And the reason for that is because I feel like, you know, people think that healing is the same as curing, that it just happens immediately, as opposed to that it actually happens in different stages. It's completely different from the, you know, idea of curing, the state of curing in that sense. It's slower, it's layer by layer often. You know, I mean, if you just get pain today and you connect to your body and you're able to transform it, then it can be very fast. But if it's been there for a while, then it takes time, and people end up getting stuck and confused in a particular stage of healing, or they end up skipping a stage and then they go, oh, healing doesn't work. You know, I'm a skeptic. And, you know, I'm somebody who has a very, very detailed scientific type mind, and I don't just believe things just because somebody says they, you know, that this is an experience. And I actually don't encourage that. I encourage people to be teachable, to learn things, to believe things that are detailed and connect a lot of pieces together. And so, yeah, the book is going to be around understanding these different stages, and rather than getting frustrated and stuck and disappointed, actually going, oh, I'm in this stage. What can I do while I'm in this stage of healing? What do I need to explore and understand so that I can move to the next stage?
I can't wait for that. Okay. And I don't want this to end. I could talk to you forever. I'm just genuinely so impressed and just love your work. I love the connection that we had here today on this playdate in Paris. It was a beautiful playdate in Paris. Let me ask you the question that I end with. We're gonna link everything in the show notes. I'll tell everyone where to go. So don't even worry about that. But this is the question that I ask everyone at the end of the show. And this is early because it's early for you in Australia right now. How are you going to make your workday more playful today? What are you going to do? I want to know, because I'm going to do it. Whatever you do, I'm going to do. What is it?
You know, so for me, it's about being connected to my heart. So I actually, as a practice, and again, I have so many workshops, and also people, you know, can connect to me and essentially access some of the workshops immediately that they're where I teach people how to connect to yourself. Like the secret language of your body has a workshop connected to it, but really connecting to my heart and asking the question of, you know, what is it that I want to achieve today? What is it, you know, how do I want to show up today in terms of my heart openness? Is there anything in my heart that is blocked or, you know, stuck that I can release? And, you know, how do I know I have several meetings today with different people. How do I see this flowing? And usually I just take that time to go, okay, who are these people? How do I connect with them? What's, you know, what would be fun? And I often have this thought that I say to myself regularly throughout the day. And my thought is, how does this day get even better than this?
Oh, I love that. Love it. And well, my day's not going to get better than this. This is it. This is the capstone. Okay. You crushed it for me. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your work in this world. I really am. I want you to know that. I hope you receive that because you've changed a life in Charleston, South Carolina, in the United States. There's a lot out there we can't control. I just want to end with this, but what we can control is the inner work. And that's what Inna is teaching us. The inner work with Inna. And I just am so honored that you came on this show. And I'm, you know, it's not every day that I get to talk to an author whose book has changed my life. So thank you so much. I mean that.
Thank you.
All right. This has been the Playdate with Inna. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Okay, peeps. As we wrap, here's what I want to leave you with. Leadership is not just about what you say or decide. It's about how regulated, present, and aware you are in your body. When leaders learn to listen to their bodies, they're going to lead with more clarity, compassion, and courage. I want to thank Inna for her work and for reminding us that our bodies are not obstacles to leadership. They are guides. And now it's time for the Playdate practice. This week, when you notice stress or urgency showing up, I want you to pause for just 60 seconds. Place one hand on your chest and then take three slow breaths and ask yourself one question. What is my body trying to tell me right now? You don't need to fix it. You just need to listen. That awareness alone can change how you lead. Until next time, my peeps, I want you to keep playing, keep listening, and keep leading from the inside out. I'll see you next time on our Playdate. Bye.